Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motor Studio on the move today here in Norwich, Connecticut at 4th Street in Sunbury and also Sunbury Motors Kia routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Lenape Solar Hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. And today's show, as always on a Thursday, brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Jones in Norwich, Buhner in Sunbury. Bob, great to have you with us today.
Thanks,
we're
Steve.
About to hear from Bill O'Brien.
You know, it's good to hear him, and he made a great statement today.
Yeah, he did. So let's get to Bill O'Brien today at the Big Ten press conference in Chicago. I hope.
Honored to be here.
Yeah.
honored to be a part of this conference. I think it's a fantastic conference with great coaches. We've got a bunch of kids back in State College right now that are sticking together, that have been through a lot of tough times over the last 6 months, but have turned the page and are ready to move forward. And all I can tell you is that we've got a great staff. We've got a tough, smart football team. Our fans need to get on board. Our alumni need to get on board. And our lettermen need to get on board. And with that, I'll open it to questions.
All right, let's go back here to the left in the middle first.
Hey, Bill, I was wondering if you could address sort of the challenge of keeping the guys together this week, and in particular, keeping other teams from recruiting them, and just address those challenges and if other teams have been on campus.
First thing I did after the 9 a.m. press conference on Monday is I had a 10 a.m. meeting. And I talked to our players about a number of things, and it's not really like me to tell people what I speak about in team meetings, but I will tell you that number one is I talked to them about the education that they're receiving at Penn State. It's a world-renowned institution. 600,000 alumni will tell you that. I talked to them about their commitment to each other. I talked to them about the bond that they formed with this football staff, a fantastic staff that cares about their players. Good teachers, good men, good fathers. I talked to them about adversity. I gave them my own story, my own personal story on adversity as it related to my wife and I with our son Jack. And I talked to them about each one of them have stories of adversity in their lives. Our coaches have stories of adversity in their lives. And the measure of a man is how you overcome adversity. I talked to them about, without a shadow of a doubt, they're going to be able to play 6 to 7 bowl games per year in front of 108,000 screaming fans in Beaver Stadium. And I expect it to be 108,000 fans in Beaver Stadium. I talked to them about this staff and our ability to develop these guys for the National Football League. I told them that this staff isn't going anywhere, and we're committed to the 2012 football team. So those are some of the things I talked to them about. As far as other schools on campus, I said my piece on that yesterday. I have no idea what schools were on campus, nor do I care. And I will tell you that that's about all I have to say on that.
Okay, I've got a question over here to the right.
Hi, Coach. Could you give us any update on the Silas Red situation?
No.
Over here to the left.
A couple of the coaches who were on earlier mentioned that, particularly Brett Bielema, that he wouldn't actively recruit the Penn State guys, even though obviously the NCAA is allowing him to, because of just he felt sort of a bond as you guys are in the same conference. Do you expect that sort of attitude and bond with coaches in the Big Ten as far as them recruiting your players now?
First of all, let me tell you how much respect I have for Brett Bielema, what he's done at the University of Wisconsin. He's a heck of a football coach, and it's been proven on the field and off the field there. Secondly, I can tell you that the rules are what they are, and guys are it's like NFL free agency without the rules. So they can do what they want as long as they tell our compliance office that they are contacting these kids, and it is what it is. So I don't really have anything else to say on that.
Okay, we're going to go right up here to the left first and then over to the right.
Coach, have you spoken at all with Coach Beckman personally about coaches from his staff on campus?
No.
Over here to the right.
Going into the season, what do you expect to accomplish? Kind of what are your goals, and what do you think this team can do this year?
Again, I'm not into being a genie and standing up here and talking about where we're going to be in November. What I can tell you is, again, that we have a good, tough, smart football team right now that's back in State College. Three of them are I think, just walked in the door here. These kids have a lot of pride in Penn State. They have a lot of pride in the university, and most importantly, they have a tremendous commitment to each other. And so what I expect is, when we start practice on August 6th, that we're going to put forth the effort, the hard work, to make sure that we field a very competitive football team September 1st against Ohio.
Right here in the white front.
Coach, you had to field so many questions about other things. Let's just talk about football. What are your initial evaluations of your team and what you have? I know you don't know who's going to necessarily be there, but with what you have.
Well, again, I'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I felt good about many of the positions. I'll start with the offensive line. You know, when I took the job, many people told me, you know, your offensive line isn't very good, and I would beg to differ. We've got some guys there that had excellent spring practices. We've got good depth there. We've got athletic guys there. We've got smart, tough guys there. So I've been pleased with the offensive line, and also obviously their development in the weight room hopefully will show up when we start practice in August. You know, the quarterback situation, Matt McGloin's our starter. He's smart, he's tough, he's competitive, and I'm proud to have him as the starting quarterback at Penn State. We've got depth at wide receiver. We've got three, four, five guys there. Justin Brown, Allen Robinson, Alex Kenny. We've got Evan Lewis coming back on the football team. We've got a number of guys there, Shawnee Kersey, that we think can really help us and play well. Our tight end position, again, is we've got decent depth there. We've got three or four guys that can play. Gary Gilliam, Jesse James, we feel good about that. Our running back position with Silas coming back, and with Billy Belton there and Derek Day, feel good about the depth there. Defensively, feel very good about the front seven. Jordan Hill, who will be here today. Mike Motti at linebacker. Gerald Hodges is a preseason All-American. Expecting him to have a fantastic season. Our secondary, led by Stephon Morris, Malcolm Willis, two seniors that are good, tough, smart football players. I think we're going to be in good shape there. So, you know, we feel very good about where we're at defensively. And special teams-wise, we put in all of our schemes there last spring, and hopefully we'll be able to go out and be a good special teams unit too.
Okay, in the middle, right?
Coach over here?
Yeah.
Just wondering if you've turned to any other coaches, or if there's a mentor in your life that's been helping you make the transition going from the NFL to being a college head coach?
Well, again, I've been fortunate to work for a lot of good head football coaches. George O'Leary at Central Florida, I worked for him at Georgia Tech. Ralph Friedgen at Maryland. I've worked for Mark Whipple, who's the quarterback coach of the Cleveland Browns, when I worked for him at Brown University. And then obviously Bill Belichick. So, of course, those guys are friends of mine. And, you know, some of those guys I've spoken to over the last 6 months since I took the job, and those guys' friendships mean a lot to me, and they've been very supportive of our program over the last two or three days also.
Okay, we're going to go in the back left and then up here in the right.
Coach, did it surprise you at all that the Big Ten didn't put any transfer restrictions within the conference? What's your thought on that? And did you have any communication with your administration about that before the issue came down?
Nothing surprises me, so no, the answer to the first question is no, and I have no thought on that.
Okay, over here to the right.
Coach, can you talk about your idea to possibly change Penn State's uniforms? That's something that resonates a lot with the fans.
Sure, yeah, there's a lot of discussions going on with our football team right now. You know, we've got a group of young men there, like I've said, that are sticking together, and there's changes that have taken place at Penn State over the last 6 months that are reflected already in the new era of Penn State football, and some of the changes people will have to wait and see till September 1st.
Okay, over there to the right, middle.
Coach, have any of your players informed you that they intend to transfer?
Right now, no.
Where's the other mic holder? Okay, go ahead.
How have coaches Johnson and Vanderlinen aided in your transition?
They've been two key components to the staff. You know, when I was hired back in January, Rodney Erickson and Dave Joyner and some other people recommended those two men to me and held them in very high regard. And the reason was there were many reasons. Good recruiters, good teachers, good men. The players had fantastic relationships with them. So I decided to sit down and talk with them, and then obviously decided to retain them on my staff. And over the last 6 months, I'm very glad that I did that. These are two good football coaches. We've got a lot of good coaches on our staff, and we feel very good about our staff, the chemistry on our staff, the open lines of communication on our staff, and in many ways the championship pedigree of our staff. So we feel good about it, and those are two guys that are a big part of it.
Over here to the left.
Bill, what did you think of the way that your bosses at Penn State negotiated the sanction agreement with the NCAA, and would you support an appeal of those NCAA sanctions, which seems to have some traction with the Board of Trustees?
I think our Board of Trustees came out with a statement last night that, as I've said over the last 2 days, that it's time to move forward, turn the page. The sanctions are what they are. It's time to get up and get going, which we started doing Monday at 10 a.m. I think Dr. Erickson is a tremendous leader. I think over the last 6 months, he's had to make some very, very difficult decisions, and he's made them. And I would say the same for Dave Joyner. So I'm proud to work for those two guys, and I stand by the decisions that they make.
Okay, we've got a question here in the blue.
Coach, what do you think will be the key to have success on the field in these upcoming years with the restrictions?
Well, again, the key is, number one, is to keep this 2012 team together, which right now it is together. And we've got to continue to communicate with our players, and that's what we're doing on a daily basis, minute to minute, we're communicating with these players. So that's number one. And then moving forward, you know, again, I've said this this morning, and I've said this over the last couple of days. You know, I've heard the talk that this is so bad, and, you know, what are we going to do? I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way. I see it as an opportunity. I see it as a little bit of adversity that we need to overcome. I came from a league where there were 53 players on the roster, 8 practice squad players, and 45 players on the active roster, 21 on offense, 21 on defense, 3 specialists on game day. So I'm pretty well aware of how to handle a roster of 65 scholarship players. So we have plans in place. I'm not going to get into the details of those. They're already in the works. But I don't think that's as bad as everybody says it is.
Okay, we've got one question over here to the left and then a final one to the right.
Over here, Coach. You come from
station for news, weather, business, and Fox Sports Radio is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible, from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands, like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors' Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory, and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
In the Central Susquehanna Valley, we have all kinds of ways to celebrate our people, history, and opportunities. The biggest celebrations once again coming to Sunbury. Sunbury River Festival 2012, August 16th through 18th. Over 100 booths with all of your favorite River Festival food. Car show, craft show, and much more. August 16th, join me, Sean Carey, for the Valley's Got Talent, sponsored by Service Electric Cablevision at the Shikellamy High Auditorium. New this year is poetry reading, yoga, and a salute to the Valley's recreational opportunities. Enjoy the exciting cardboard regatta August 18th at the amphitheater and themed train rides too. For a full schedule, go to sunburyriverfestival.com. Special thanks to Wise Markets and the Degenstein Foundation, plus Northumberland National Bank, M&T Bank, Service Electric Cablevision, and Susquehanna Bank, Woodmode Incorporated, T. Ross Brothers Construction, Nottingham Village, Sunbury Textile Mills, K&N Electric, Swineford National Bank, Central Credit Audit, and the stations of Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Give any room in your home an instant makeover with a rug from the Rug Outlet in Lewisburg. From traditional to contemporary, braids and stair runners and indoor-outdoor rugs, nobody has a better selection at the lowest prices than the Rug Outlet. For over 29 years, our local customers choose us again and again. Come visit our showroom on Route 45, just west of Lewisburg, between the Allergy Partners and the Natural Food and Garden Store. We're open 7 days a week, so call 524-9494 for the Rug Outlet, where all we sell are rugs.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents The Road Report. 10 minutes before the hour each weekday morning on WKOK. We'll talk about construction slow spots, and we'll let you know if the weather is going to affect driving. Before you hit the road, check out The Road Report at WKOK.com. Then, listen to News Radio 1070 WKOK to find out what you'll run into on the way to work. The Road Report is on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Welcome back, Buhner and Jones on a... That gave you top billing.
Oh,
Buhner,
thank you.
And Jones on a Thursday. I mean, you're on the show now an hour and 20 minutes in, and you already have top billing. our number, 1-800-795-9565. Let's go to the Lenape Solar Hotline. Bob has been patient. Bob, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Hey, it's good to talk to you here today. You're providing an excellent public service here, I would say. And I'm glad you have Bob with you here. I've got a legal quandary. Been wondering about this ruling now for however long. And the fact that, no problem, when the leaders who are involved, when they are found guilty at law, okay, they pay the consequences. But what about all the people who are not involved in this, such as all of the football players, all of the students, the Bellefonte and State College vendors, and you can go on and on and on, okay? But somewhere, so Bob, here's my question, legal problem. Can I, as one of these people in one of those classes, can I go to court and seek relief under some constitutional right that I have against cruel and unusual punishment?
The answer, in a nutshell, would be no. The longer answer is there are always unintended victims in cases like this. In the criminal realm, an actual victim, someone harmed by a defendant, such as the victims of Jerry Sandusky, they have a legal right. But there has to be, to sue Sandusky, and they're going to name other defendants as well. But you're a secondary or maybe third layer, fourth layer victim, and you wouldn't have a, there's not a causal connection that is relevant enough to get you into the court of law to make a claim.
Well, the causal connection is I, as a tavern owner in State College, I'm going to lose a lot of money. Somebody said the other day that the big place down below the stadium, they looked to those 8 weeks to stay in the State College area.
Well,
those eight games. So we're talking big money losses. Isn't that causal relief?
Well, you mean a causal connection. It's indirect at best, and actually because of the actual NCAA punishment, which is probation, etc., there's... as opposed to the death penalty, the bars will still be open. The bars can sell whatever bars do sell. And I've actually been in a couple of those to just test their products, so I know. But that's just the way it goes. But there is no, you can't sue for damages, lost sales because of that. And I don't have all the law school books in front of me here in the Sunbury Motors studio, but the answer is you don't have a right to sue in that regard.
Under our United States Constitution, each of those football players has to suffer individually when they had no responsibility at all.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not talking. Bob, we're not talking about constitutional rights here, because really, what constitutional rights, as we understand them, generally involve the government and involved in some type of action. Here, the NCAA is a private institution, private entity, as is Penn State, and it's a contractual relationship that they have. So the Constitution generally would not be involved in something like this, because these are two private agencies or entities going after each other back and forth, and then they negotiate a settlement. So there really isn't a constitutional right at issue or at stake here. If it was the government, might be a different story completely. I hope that answers your question. I know was not the answer you wanted to hear.
Well,
it's the answer we're stuck with.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Bob.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bob. Let's go to Shamokin next at 1-800-795-9565. Tony, thank you for your patience. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. In the initial grand jury testimony, the incident of the Lash Building in the shower was March of 2002, and that was changed back to 2001. I was wondering, just how does that happen?
Well, here's what happened, as I understand it. Steve, if you'll let me jump in on this. The original inquiry or investigation was with Mike McQuarrie, and they tried to get a time frame. He thought it was spring break, and he thought it was 2002. And that's what was charged based on what he thought, although he was somewhat ambiguous. He said it could have been 2001, could have been 2002. Well, things rolled on as if it was 2001, and that's what was reported, and that's what the charges against Sandusky were initially filed as. And then the free investigation found all these emails showing that it was actually February of 2002. The prosecution went to
2001,
court.
Bob.
2001. The prosecution went to court and changed the dates from 2002 to February 2001 in the filing documents that charged Jerry Sandusky with initially 52 charges. They used the 2001 date. It's amending the information. And that
Does
was permitted
the
by the judge.
Have to agree to that?
Pardon? No. They do not. And I thought at the trial the defense would really use that in its cross-examination of Mike McQuarrie, but apparently very little was said about that, and it kind of surprised a lot of legal commentators who were giving that daily commentary on the media, you know, different shows. They were very surprised that the defense really didn't hammer, because they missed it by a spring break and by a year. So
yeah, it wasn't a month or a day.
No, it was not. So that was a that was an interesting thing, and I really did think that there'd be more made of that, of a faulty memory. And if you can't trust the person's memory on that, what other things can't you trust their testimony to be? So it didn't play out that way in court.
It also seems like there's a lot of faulty memory when it came to those janitors who they used in the trial and in the free report.
Yeah.
How often does something like that happen?
Well, I don't think it happens all that often, but it was actually, to me, reading that, somewhat stunning. The judge made a ruling in the trial to allow hearsay testimony from one of the janitors who heard from the janitor who reported it, who then became ill and suffers from dementia and who couldn't testify. They allowed basically what's called hearsay over that janitorial observation in the year, I think it was 2000. That was the judge's ruling. I think that will be one of the grounds of appeal that Sandusky will try to use when the matter goes up on appeal following sentencing.
Well, the janitors, I mean, they said they were afraid to testify because of the power of Joe Paterno, that they may lose their job. Well, their jobs were temporary to begin with. They were going to lose them.
I think, it sounds like a rationalization on their part to defend why they didn't come forward when they should have. Whether that's what they felt or that's what they said and really didn't feel that way, we'll never know.
That's right. Did they feel that way then, or did they feel that way now?
Well, hindsight is...
Right. We'll never know. I think Sandusky's biggest appeal would be his defense attorney. That man, I don't know. Any defense attorney that comes out during the day and says, I'll be surprised if he gets found not guilty. I thought that was astounding.
Well, here's the way that actually works. One cannot challenge the lack of effectiveness of their lawyer until after the first level of appeals goes forward. So there'll be an appeal go forward after sentencing sometime in late August, September. That appeal will then be heard and those issues resolved. At that point, then Sandusky can come back and say, no, wait a minute. Not only did that happen and it was wrong that my appeal was decided against me, but my lawyer back in the trial, he really screwed up, and I'm going to challenge his effectiveness on my behalf. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not standing up for Sandusky. These are just questions I have.
Sure. That'll be years down the road, frankly.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Tony, thank you. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Here is the list of players so far that have committed to staying officially. Matt McGloin, Shane McGregor, Tyler Lucas, and Steven Bench. Those are the quarterbacks. The wide receivers that have committed so far have been Matt Zanellato, Allen Robinson, Eugene Lewis, Alex Kenny, Christian Kuntz, and Malik Golden. The tight ends that have committed have been Gary Gilliam, Kyle Carter, Jesse James, Dakota Royer, and Bryce Wilson. The running backs are Bill Belton and Derek Day. The fullbacks, Michael Zordich, Andre Dupree, P.J. Byers. The offensive linemen that have committed, Donovan Smith, Nate Cadogan, Adam Gresh, John Urschel, Eric Schweib, Angelo Mangiero, Anthony Stenko, Miles Diefenbach, Frank Figueroa, Mike Farrell, Matt Stinkavage, Mark Archiacono, and Anthony Alosi. Defensive ends so far that have come out and stated uncategorically they are staying: Jordan Kerner, Evan Schwann, Deion Barnes, Anthony Zettel, and Tyrone Smith. Defensive tackles, Jordan Hill, Daquan Jones, Kyle Boblitz, Austin Johnson. Linebackers, Michael Motti, Glenn Carson, Gerald Hodges, and Ben Klein. Defensive backs, Stephon Morris, Jordan Lucas, Mike Wallace, Adrian Amos, Stephen Obeng Archibong, Patrick Flanagan, Jake Kiley, Malcolm Willis, and Devin Pryor. And the specialists are Alex Butterworth, Emery Etter, who's the long snapper, and with the injury to Ty Howell, has to be the long snapper, and Sam Ficken. So that is the list. 50, 58 names.
I was going to say, Steve, what is the total number of players that would be involved in committing out of, you know, beyond the 58 that have already said, yes, we're staying? What's the total number?
The total number on the squad, there are 85 scholarship players, but the total number of the squad that you're allowed to bring to camp is 105. And these guys would all be on the 105-man list. So that, in other words, of the 105, there are 47 names not there right now. That would not be there in the 105. So we're still waiting to see. I mean, Anthony Ferrer, there's been word of contact from Texas, and that he's going to talk to Texas. Silas Red, but there really has been nobody else I've heard of along the way that's decided to go that way. I've heard unofficially a few other names that aren't on that list, some high-profile names that would be on that list that unofficially I'm pretty sure is staying, but I'm not going to say it out front right now because I think it would be the wrong way to go.
Steve, we just heard a really great press conference by Coach O'Brien. One of the questions I had for you, before he walks out and faces the media at the Big Ten Media Day, is there someone that sits with him and preps him, or does he just walk out cold, look at the audience, and go, okay, fire away?
Well, you know what? I think in some cases that does happen, where the sports information person sits there and preps them, but that's not Bill O'Brien's style. Bill O'Brien's style is very much a style of, I can handle this, and I'll walk out and get it done. So he walks in cold, and he knows what questions he basically is going to get. He knows coming out of this, you know. And there's certainly people he can talk with and say, hey, look, is there a basic message you want me to get out there? But he is so good and so secure within himself, I think that is not an issue for him when he goes out there. And that's what really bothers me about all the recruiters on the ground, or those constantly harassing players with phone calls during this process. Those are programs that keep saying it's within the rules. In other words, you're not very secure in your own program. If you're securing your own program and you already have your 85 scholarship players and you already have your 105-man roster set, because training camp starts, in less than 2 weeks. Okay, it starts in 10 days. All right, you're secure and set to go. If you're a very insecure program, you're the ones that are calling left and right because you don't like what you have in your roster. Well, but guess what? You don't like what you have in your roster because it's your own fault.
Yeah, I thought you're the
one that recruited them.
Yeah, I thought that must be saying something about your own ability to recruit, because you're not very happy with the 85 scholarship players you have, that you've got to go get extra from somewhere else. It doesn't speak well, I think, of some programs, and I think that's the take. And Steve, you and I emailed back and forth about something, the situation down at the University of Kentucky back in 1992. Unforgettables, as they're known, the four players who went through a probationary period and stayed with the program, all four of their numbers are retired and hanging in Rupp Arena, and they are those four players. Only really one could be considered a sensational basketball player, but those four are revered because they stuck it out through great adversity. And I think we're going to find that the Michael Maudies of the world, those that stick this thing out, will have that same level of affection by the Penn State fans and others for having the loyalty to stay with the program. It's easy to be there when you're 11-0 and doing great things, but when you're really under the gun, I think it's a different story. And I think Coach O'Brien, I wrote this down, the measure of a man is how you overcome adversity. That should be up on a wall somewhere.
No question. And those four players on the Unforgettables were John Pelfrey, who was really good, and Sean Woods, very good as well. He's now the head coach at Mississippi Valley State. Darren Feldhaus and Richie Farmer. Those are the guys that are the four players that are the Unforgettables. And to be honest with you, this will be a team, and I think over the next 4 years, I think what will happen is that in the lore of Penn State football that has been able to produce some of the truly great players in the history of the game, from Franco Harris to Lydell Mitchell to John Cappelletti to Kajana Carter and Kurt Warner to Jack Hamm to Greg Buttle to Lance Mell to Bruce Clark, Matt Millen, all down the line, go on and on and on. Todd Blackledge, you name it. Kerry Collins.
How about my neighbor, Randy Sidler from Danville?
Randy Sidler, who was just one of the truly great All-America defensive tackles, especially in the 77 season when he was incredible. But the players that we're about to watch over the next 4 years will secure a special place in the lore and the heart of every Penn State fan, because they are going to face an adversity and a situation where 10, 15 years from now, when the program is wildly successful, we'll look back on this era and say, those were the guys that hung tough and saved it.
Yes, the measure of a man is how you overcome adversity. That might be the 2012 through 15 seasons that we're going to remember the most when it's all said and done.
Well, when it's all said and done, we always have to take a break. We will take one right now. Our number is 1-800-795-9565 in the Lenape Solar Hotline. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Bob and I back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, look, the tents are up at Kohl's Hardware. That means yard sale time.
Yard sale bargains, here we come.
Everybody loves a yard sale, especially when all the items are new. Like the yard sales at Kohl's Hardware. Kohl's has the best prices of the year on selected discontinued and seasonal inventory. Shop Kohl's Yard Sale for patio torches, lawn furniture, tables, chairs and benches, citronella candles, fountains, bird baths, wind chimes and accent lights. Now is the perfect time to buy weed whackers, shop vacs, outdoor lighting, barbecue accessories, and pool supplies. Stock up for next summer on things you need now. Find the best bargains on kitchen appliances, garden accessories, and tools. Shop all the stores. Every store has unique closeout items, and shop every week because prices keep going down. It pays to shop every week. The longer the sale goes, the lower the prices. But shop early for the best selection. Kohl's Hardware. Find us on Facebook. We're close, convenient, helpful, and saving you money in your hometown.
If you're in the home building business or a business that caters to the needs of the owner's home and landscape or outdoor recreational activities, now is your chance to shine. It's our 2012 Home and Outdoor Recreation Show at the Susquehanna Valley Mall, August 24th, 25th, and 26th. We want you to show everyone what you've got. If you're a vendor for home building, home renovation, countertops, kitchen cabinets, carpeting, flooring, windows, gutters, siding, painting, basement refinishing, or anything to do with home improvement of any kind, or outdoor recreation, including RVs, ATVs, hunting, fishing, camping, archery, anything home and outdoor, this is the perfect opportunity to meet and greet your potential new customers. Get registered. Call Devaney Young at 286-5838. That's 286-5838. Our 2012 Home and Outdoor Recreation Show at the Susquehanna Valley Mall, August 24th through 26th. We'll see you there. Brought to you by WKOK.
Sunbury Motor Studios on the road today in Norwich, Connecticut. That's why Buhner is holding down the fort. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Financial Services, LLC. And at 1-800-795-9565, it's the Lenape Solar Hotline, where Dick from Milton is waiting for us. Hello, Dick. Thank you very much for your patience, Bob, and I appreciate it.
Hey, Steve. I just had two quick questions for Bob. I don't want to rehash things that he maybe has already gone over, but I was kind of curious if he talked about how close he maybe thought that maybe Tom Corbett and Ray Grecar were to getting Sandusky literally off the street years ago. That was my one question, and I wondered, has he discussed the actual charges or non-charges against President Spanier and Curley and Schultz, and what happens if they're found not guilty or nothing ever comes of it? What happens to the rest of this with Penn State and Coach Paterno? That was all I really wanted to ask him.
Sure. The first thing is, back in 1998, Ray Grecar was the sitting district attorney of Center County, Pennsylvania. I'll share this with folks, he was a Buckeye fan. He was not a Penn State fan, although he did go to games, and he's originally from the Akron, Ohio area, moved to Penn State when his wife at the time got a job as a professor. In 98, he was presented with a series of pieces of evidence about Jerry Sandusky and concluded that there was insufficient evidence or information to charge Sandusky with any crime at that time. I do not believe that Ray Grecar knew anything about the 2001 incident, the so-called McQueary Friday night incident, at all. I think it probably bothered Ray Grecar that he was not able to make a case in 1998, but because he was a very ferocious prosecutor, and it didn't bother him who the person was or who they were affiliated with. If there was a case, he would take it. He proved that many times. So after 98, to no one's knowledge, there's anything about any more cases with Sandusky. Tom Corbett was the attorney general, and a referral came to him out of Center County. The DA, Mike Madeira, passed on a referral to Tom Corbett somewhere in 2008, and Corbett assigned an investigator to it, and it went on and on and on, and finally, when Corbett became governor, there was a new attorney general, an interim attorney general. They added investigators and really started finding witnesses and victims in large numbers, resulting in the prosecution of a month or so ago. So that's over and done with. Corbett has moved on to the governorship. Grecar has been declared legally dead. With regard to Tim Curley and to Vice President Schultz, they are charged with two crimes right now, and they're pending and awaiting trial. The first charge is failing to report child abuse. It's only a summary offense. And the second one is perjury, which is lying to the grand jury that was brought together to hear information, lying to them under oath, in other words, making false statements. There's been nothing we know of involving former President Spanier at this time. He has given statements to the free investigators. He testified in front of the grand jury, and it's anybody's guess at this point what's going to happen there. We understand that there's still a grand jury looking at all of the peripheral events other than the charges for which Jerry Sandusky was recently convicted. So that's where we stand on all of that, as far as I know.
I appreciate that. What's the worst case scenario for, let's say, Curley and Schultz if they're found guilty? What are they looking at, or are they looking at little or nothing because it maybe is the first offense and they're not?
Good question. Pennsylvania has what we call sentencing guidelines.
Right,
and every sentence is based on the seriousness of the offense. Perjury be a felony. It's a lower grade felony. It's not up with the violent crimes like the robberies and assaults, etc. And there'll be a range. There'll be a standard range, a mitigated range, and an aggravated range. And it'll be up to the judge to make a decision. Is it follow the standard range sentencing, which would be so many months and years incarceration, or you want to aggravate it, or because it's a first offense, mitigate it? And, you know, we're not even there yet. I think that the trials of Mr. Curley and Vice President Schultz will be incredibly revealing. I say that for a lot of reasons, because that's the mystery in the free report. We don't know what happened. And I think when they defend themselves, unlike Jerry Sandusky, my sense is that they will take the witness stand and they will explain to the jury why they answered questions the way they answered them in front of the grand jury, and they'll also explain why they did not call in to Childline or make referrals of the alleged abuse that they was told to them or allegedly told to them by Mike McQueary. I think we're going to hear from them, and I have a feeling it's going to throw a whole different light on this whole situation. And if that's the case, and let's just say they're found not guilty, and President Spanier's never charged, I think then Penn State should petition the NCAA, which they can do, and ask them to reopen the situation and review the penalties and ask for, in essence, leniency or some different penalty than what is currently they're facing.
Well, I really appreciate your answers and your time. My only comment is I hate to think at the end that the statue of Joe Paterno ended up with a worse fate than everybody else that was involved other than Sandusky. I guess that's my point.
That's what happens when you respond to the media frenzy, when you don't take your time and do a thorough and complete investigation, when you have the luxury of time. That's what happens when you make decisions based on raw emotion and the need to, quote, do something. Let's just, you know, take the deep breath. Let's take the long view. But it didn't happen, and Penn State is, and I think Bill O'Brien, is responding to the penalties and what is in front of him and not playing the what-if game because he can't.
Well, I appreciate your time. Thanks
Dick,
a lot,
thanks
Bob.
So much.
Thank you, Steve.
Dick, thanks so much. We'll come back with the one final segment in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here we are at Sealands Grove Ford at the Bridge in Sealands Grove. And Todd Benner's with me. Todd, just in case some people have left this planet or they just got back, I don't know. X-Plan pricing. It's the real deal here. We're not making up some science fiction here.
No. And I mean, X-Plan pricing is the best and easiest way to buy a new car. And if you're looking for big savings, you got to get down to Sealands Grove Ford during our X-Plan pricing sale, which has been going on for 2 weeks now, by the way. But anyway, a Focus SE, brand new. It sells for $22,300. X-Plan pricing, $17,900. So you're saving $4,300, Scott. And how about a new Fusion SE, MSRP 23.7, X-Plan is $18,900.
That's $4,800 savings with X-Plan pricing.
You're in the market for a new car, Sealands Grove Ford's a place to come.
As we've been saying, price makes the deal here at Sealands Grove Ford, so come and see dealer for full details. And right now, X-Plan pricing at one place, Sealands Grove Ford at the Bridge, Sealands Grove.
The year was 1982. Gas was 91 cents a gallon. E.T. was phoning home. The Cosby Show was on NBC. And a new restaurant opened, BJ's Steak and Rib House. 30 years later, people have enjoyed the best steaks and barbecue at BJ's. In 1982, it started with the President of the United States.
To all Americans, this is your President, Ronald Reagan. You know, I remember the first time Nancy and I had those tender, juicy ribs at BJ's. And I remember splashing BJ's barbecue sauce on my new tie, and Nancy would yell at me every time. That's when I came up with, now there you go again.
Celebrate 30 years of inspired barbecue with a slab of St. Louis ribs, plus local sweet card, creamy coleslaw, and a free pint of BJ's Cream Ale, all for just $15.95. Eat in or take out. You can enjoy BJ's anniversary special in Sealands Grove and Danville. The Oyster Bar is open every night at BJ's.
News Radio 1070 WKOK wants you to know about the people and organizations that help make the Susquehanna Valley a better place to live.
Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated is sponsoring Sunbury Dollar Stroll every Friday in July and August. Participating businesses in the Sunbury area will have dollar specials every Friday in July and August. You'll see dollar ice cream, dollar tacos, dollar beers, dollar peanuts, and lots more. For a full schedule of participating businesses, check out the community events page at WKOK.com.
Find out all about the people, places, and organizations that make the Susquehanna Valley a great place exclusively on CCN, CATV Service Channel 8. Every Wednesday at 7 and re-airing Saturday and Sunday at 1, you'll join Jennifer Wakeman in your neighborhood. She'll take you inside area businesses, introduce you to interesting people, show you things to do, and tell you about terrific local organizations. To learn more about In Your Neighborhood and all programming, visit us at www.catvservice.com.
In today's digital world, you can't afford to be lagging behind on all the latest details. Hi, Kim Commando here. Join me for the Kim Commando Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, and you'll be in the know about everything digital. I'm here every Saturday from 10 till 1. It's just me, you, and the newest digital details every weekend. Be part of the largest nationally syndicated weekend show, the Kim Commando Show, Saturdays from 10 till 1, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Buter and Jones on a Thursday afternoon. By the way, tomorrow at 3:35 tomorrow, we're going to hear from Jamie Bestwick tomorrow. Jamie Bestwick, who just won another gold medal at the X Games, but is also going to be a commentator on the Summer Olympics. He'll be commentating for NBC on bike racing, and we'll get Jamie's perspective on that. He also has a fundraiser coming up in State College on Saturday night for the Bestwick Foundation, of which 100% of the proceeds actually go to individuals who need it.
You know, Steve, the Olympics the Olympics are underway. Did you know that women's soccer, the U.S., 4-2 over France, and we haven't even had the opening ceremony?
down 2-0. The United States women rallied to win 4-2 in that opening round game. So, yes, they are definitely underway, and the opening ceremonies will take place tomorrow night. People have wondered where Kevin is. He's been trying to go around with a fundraiser to see if he could go to London. Right now he's up to $1.69, but that's just the power of what Kevin brings to the table.
And that won't even buy him fish and chips in London, that's for sure. The big story also...
No, it won't.
Michael Phelps not marching in the opening ceremony. I think he's got an
You know what? There's no need... There's no need for him to do it because, look, the most important thing for him is he needs to keep his legs preserved. I mean, he has early times that he's going to have to take care of. And when it comes down to it, you have your event. You have to take care of your event. He's been through an opening ceremony before. Thus, there is no need for him to feel like he has to be a part of the pageantry. He has to try and win races, and so that means preserving legs, so he preserves his legs.
Exactly. You know, Steve, the one thing we didn't get a chance to talk about, and it's near and dear to my heart, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Oh, I've been a long-suffering Pirates fan, and they seem to be doing well. Rumor has it.
They're doing extremely well. They're the number one wild card team right now. So, in other words, if the season were to end now, they would be hosting at home the one-game wild card playoff, and that's where they are. They are the best story in baseball this summer.
And, you know, they just called up Sterling Marte, I think, out of Indianapolis. He's one of the next so-called phenoms. That's got to be exciting.
He starts tonight.
Yes, down in
Houston.
Yeah,
he starts tonight.
Steve, what's your... Go ahead.
No, I said this is one of the great parts of the schedule for the Pirates because they have a lot of Cubs in Houston right now. They can make a lot of hay.
Although the Cubbies, 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh didn't help. But I think they're on a great roll, and I think unlike last year where El Fodo showed up at the end of the season, I think this is the year they keep going. At the present rate, they're hit 556% winning percentage right now.
It's incredible what they've done. So
in a short time,
we'll talk more about. A short time. Do you have time for us tomorrow, or are you busy tomorrow?
I have time. If you have time.
Sam, why don't you come on back tomorrow, my friend, because we had such a great time today, and we can start talking about not just this, but also other issues like the Pirates, for example, and about the Olympics, and we'll have Jamie Bestwick on tomorrow, and we can have even more fun with it tomorrow talking about a few other topics. And
Cole,
if people
want to
keep going, $144 million. Now, maybe Kevin's gone to him and asked for a loan to go to London.
I think he'd ask for just a grant. When a guy gets $144 million, no loans, just get a grant. This is a guy, Hamels.
Yeah, a grant, exactly.
Yeah, he hasn't won 15 games in a season. Holy cow.
It's amazing. But you know what? In today's baseball, it's hard to win 20 games in part because of the five-man rotation. You don't get as many starts as the old days.
No.
And since you don't get as many starts as the old days, you're not going to win as many games. But when the money was on the table, Hamels was great.
Oh, boy. So there we are, Steve Jones.
Bob. And we are, Bob Buhner. Tomorrow, my friend, I'm going to reel you back in. I'm going to waste 2 more hours of your time.
It's just great to be on the same airwaves with you, Steve.
Same thing, my friend. Bestwick tomorrow on the show from London.